Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Christmas snow is white on the ground, and when old Santa gets into town, he'll be coming down the chimney down.
He'll be coming down the chimney down.
It's the holiday season, and Santa Claus has got a toy for every good girl and good little boy. Santa's got a bundle of joy when he's coming down the chimney down.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 551. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
And sometimes we're funnier before we even start recording.
Oh my God. We won't say what it is, but Amy has been misusing a Yiddish word for a while.
A long time.
And it's really dirty.
It's gross.
We won't talk about it.
It's not even dirty, it's foul.
Yeah, it is. It's foul. It's literally foul.
It's literally foul, and I have been saying it for with probably a Southern accent.
Maybe. Well, it's cute with a Southern accent.
I don't know.
Anyway, hello everybody.
Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you. Happy Hanukkah to you too.
Oh my God. The holidays are here.
They are. They are upon
holidays
us.
Are here.
Yeah, the holidays. I mean, don't, you know, can we start the holidays just quickly by talking about what an idiot Sarah Palin is in that stupid book that nobody bought about the heads of the war on Christmas?
Yeah.
Like, there is no war on Christmas. Have you, every TV commercial, every ad, every store,
yeah.
Where are you seeing war on Christmas?
Yeah.
Has Christmas stopped?
Yeah.
And when people say the thing about how the liberals want say happy holidays, well, because to some people it is
isn't Christmas.
It isn't Christmas. It's not a war. It's just the appropriate term when you're talking about other people.
Yeah.
And I hate to tell you, Sarah Asshole Palin, there are other people in the world.
Well, and here's the funny thing. Many, many, many people have adopted Christmas that have no, they're not Christian, and that have no attachment to the Christ story, right?
Right.
And at the same time, what's funny is that I do think that sometimes the most fundamentalist and right-wing Christians are the biggest also purveyors, though, of all of the capitalism.
Oh, it's the worst.
And
it's
paganism,
right,
of
paganism.
The holidays, which is quite funny. You know, which
the real
is
war
just,
on Christmas. You know, it's about Christmas.
It's kind of like me saying the Yiddish word and not really knowing.
Wait,
it's
wait.
Kind of like they don't know.
They
They're
don't
like,
know.
Candy canes have nothing to do with Christ.
Candy canes, trees,
snowmen,
reindeer, Santa Claus,
you know,
gingerbread cookies.
None of it, you know? It's none of it's the Christmas, the Christ mass part of
none of it.
Christ's
mass. So if you're going to bitch about it, then you have to give up all that
really,
stuff.
Really, if all you want to do, you just celebrate the Advent days and you celebrate Christmas Eve and then you go to Mass and that's Christmas. That's
Listen,
Christmas.
I'm Jewish and I go to midnight Mass on Christmas whenever I can find one because it's pretty music to sing
it's
along
gorgeous.
To.
And I love ritual.
Yeah, I like ritual too. I think it's pretty.
And
especially in our neighborhood.
Your people really like the ritual.
We like it very, very much.
You like it very,
we don't
very
like
much.
That word that you used earlier. Although maybe some people don't know.
Oh my God.
We're gonna get letters about this. Anyway, so that's my thing about the holiday season. It is the holiday season because there are many holidays. Hanukkah just happened, Thanksgiving. I'm pretty sure Kwanzaa is coming up. Isn't Ramadan also around this time too?
I think so.
I mean, if I'm
solstice.
Not mistaken. Solstice.
All of it. It's all around this time of the year. It's the end of the calendar year. It's
if you
when
want to
people
say Christmas, say Christmas. If you don't want to say Christmas. But the idea that there's a war on Christmas
can
is
we just
so BS.
Call it gay? Can we just call it the gayest time of year?
Let's face it.
And we have so many gay, wonderful friends and family and neighborhoods and community to like be joy-filled with this holiday.
I'm in it.
You are fabulously elfin.
Elfin, I am. You, both on stage and off.
You and Orlando Bloom are fabulously elfin in the Santaland Diaries for your like 100th year of doing this show.
It's actually my 7th year, and we're already selling out.
You're amazing.
It runs till the 29th at Theater Wit if you're in Chicago, or if you're coming through Chicago for a little holiday/Christmas shopping spree.
And it's funny because you get like such a variety of people that come to your audience. I mean, you get, you know, parents and straight people and gay people and young people and old.
Sometimes I get kids.
Families, yeah.
Sometimes I get kids and I'm like, oh boy, I'm going to say some words probably don't want to repeat.
Not the one that I said, though. Children. Not the Yiddish
I don't think I've ever said that. I don't think I've ever said that one on stage.
Where did I hear this word? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's crazy.
I think that the word you were thinking of was schmutz, which is dirt.
I think it is, but I like my word.
Because something is schmutzig is dirty.
Yeah, schmutzig.
Yeah,
that's
all this
word.
Dirt, all and or I'll something is that. Dirty, it's schmutzig.
I'll have to start practicing it. The other one is really burned.
I know. You're going to have a hard time.
And then, you know, across, you are at Theater Wit, and right next door, tap, tap, tap on the wall, our very own Scott Duff is hanging out with those Crazy About Face kids doing the We Three Lizas, Liza Minnelli in all her glory.
Yeah.
In many different forms and fabulosity there.
Yeah, I saw a dress rehearsal because it runs the same time as mine, and it's pretty fab.
Yeah.
The performers...
we got Bethany Thomas singing her heart out,
and
the woman.
John Francisco, Scott Duff, Danielle.
Mark Kaplan.
Danielle's plays Liza. Liza was is her character. This Liza was. Liza is. And
Liza will be, or
something like that. Liza K. Sera Sera. Anyway, it's an amazing group of performers. Dana Tredd is a sort of a little powerhouse. And
it's a fun little morsel of holiday.
It is. It's
frivolity.
Like, it's like, what if the three ghosts that visit Scrooge are Liza Minnelli at different points in her career?
Yeah.
Which is a hilarious concept.
Which is a hilarious
concept. And the music and lyrics by Alan Schmuckler is really fantastic. Alan is a truly talented boy.
So talented. And speaking of other talented boys and girls, you, for the first time, along with the fabulous Big Red, Megan Murphy. Our lovely friend, she had been, you know, obviously as a fixture around Chicago, especially at Mary's Attic, and now doing fabulous shows all over the city.
Right.
After her star turn at the Black Ensemble
That's
Theater
right, taken
as the
over.
Redheaded white girl
right, exactly.
who brought down the house. But she obviously does these monthly themed shows and started doing, obviously, a Christmas.
Yes, she did.
A holiday show. And now that show's kind of taken on a new life of its own, and it's going to be Big Red and the Boys, the holiday extravaganza this year,
I'm excited about it because for the past 2 years, Big Red and the Boys became this thing where Megan, TJ Shanick, who, if people remember, was three years ago, our
gay idol.
Gay idol, who's also a beautiful singer and as well as a singer as a cellist, and then his best friend is Patrick Andrews, who is in The Normal Heart right now.
Brilliant show.
Yeah, theater goers will know Patrick. He's really one of Chicago's brightest lights. And then another guy who's in We Three Lies is John Francisco, who happens to be Patrick's boyfriend. Both in The Pride.
And The Homosexuals.
He's also a singer and a songwriter and a guitar player. So Megan and her boys, Big Red and her boys, got together 2 years ago, actually 3 years ago now, and did this Christmas cabaret, and it was so great. And then they did it again last year, both at Mary's Attic, and it was so great. And then we were all sitting around one night, and I thought maybe it would benefit from a little bit more theatricalization, you know, something.
Because it wasn't really a full show before, right? It was just a section of her show.
Right, exactly.
And so now it's like its own thing. It's its own one-hour cabaret entity.
It's only the four of them.
Yeah.
And with just some gorgeous music, just some alternative takes on Christmas songs, songs that you wouldn't necessarily make as a holiday song that they've made you see are gorgeous singing, some hilarious bits, maybe Megan doing her unbelievably brilliant Whitney Houston imitation.
Excellent.
Which is both genius and hilarious. Patrick and John singing a duet.
This is going to be at Theater Wit on top of you.
Right. It's going to be literally
on my
set.
So you're the bottom. You're the holiday bottom.
I'm the holiday bottom.
So you can double feature and go see Mitchell and then go see...
Listen, and if baby, I'm the bottom, Big Red and her boys, They're the top.
That's right.
Yeah, it'll be on, if you go to the website for Theater Wit and go to Big Red and Her Boys, you'll see that you can come see my show on the 13th, 14th, 20th, or 21st, and then after my 9:30 show, mm-hmm. you can use your ticket stub and get a discount price to see Big Red and the Boys. We'll leave the bar open. Mm-hmm. We encourage drinking.
Yeah.
And so
I'm totally coming.
It's going to be beautiful. I'm really excited about it.
And it's at 11 o'clock and the tickets are only $20 if you just go to that show.
Exactly.
And you can get tickets at Theater Wit, and that's 1229 West Belmont, right where Sandland Diaries is
exactly.
playing.
On my funny Christmassy set with Christmas lights. And
I love it.
Yeah, it's going to
so
be really
excited.
Great.
I'm so excited. I haven't seen Megan sing in a while, and I feel bad about that. It's so... I'm such an old timer now, I feel like, to go out late with the youngins. And,
but that's what's fun about this being on Friday.
But I love
Saturday.
It. For the holidays, I can kind of like rally, you know?
Absolutely.
And for you guys. For
absolutely.
This.
It's what Uber's for, you know? You Uber
it's
there,
true.
You Uber back. And
exactly. I was Uber away for a week down in the islands for Thanksgiving. And I got to say, I could live with no clothes on. I know you could too. Mm-hmm. You and I think,
you're preaching
honey,
to the choir
here's
on that
the
one.
Deal. I think, hold my hand. I believe one day you and I may have a winter home on an island.
Yes, please.
You can do funny bits and stuff if you want to, if you're missing the boat days. But like, no, I think you and I are going to have like a second home, and we're just going to grow old.
I want to wrap around.
Naked and gay.
Naked, gay. Because we can be naked all the time because we won't give a shit.
I will give you your own wing. And therefore,
can
anyone can come
veranda
and go.
Too?
I hope so. I hope there's a pool like in the center.
Oh.
Like a U-shaped, like kind of like a horseshoe.
And that then maybe a papaya tree.
Okay. Whatever.
Just grab a papaya, open it up, have breakfast.
I love it.
I love island living too, Amy. I've been to many, many islands, and I love them. I kind of grew up on an island.
Yeah.
It gets winter where I grew up, but it's still like, that island, everything's a little bit slower.
Yeah.
Did it take you? I mean, it takes me when I go on vacation to an island. It does take me a minute
to get there.
Slow down.
Well, you know, honestly, it wasn't the slowing down. I just wasn't breathing deep.
Yeah, you gotta take deep
because there's nowhere fast to go.
Nope.
You know, so and I was kind of, you know, was by myself for 1 week, and I was out of the country, and you know, and I love the vastness of it, but and it's become kind of a tradition. I don't get to do it every Thanksgiving, but that I go away somewhere warm for Thanksgiving. And it's not because I don't love my family. I'm very close to my family.
Very.
I've just been home to celebrate my brother's birthday, my grandmother's birthday, and I'm going home again. You know, I'll go home for the holidays, but it's just I had the opportunity and I went. And, you know, for me, it was like it took me till the next day to be like I'm breathing deep now. But I really can settle into, I'm a vampire, you're a vampire, mm-hmm. we're both vampires, right? I mean, even though I don't want to go out late at night,
no,
it
I'm
doesn't
up.
Mean I'm up,
right,
you
right.
know? And, you know, that's the new 40-year-old Amy. It's like right. the 20-year-old Amy would be out,
right.
and now I'm up, but I'm not out. And the clubs or whatever,
right.
you know. So
I'm with you, especially since I have such young friends who are like,
yeah,
let's hang out. I'm like, love to hang out. What do you want to do? Meet me in Logan Square at 11:30.
Yeah.
Like, no.
11:30. Haven't we wrapped up a fabulous dinner by then and a bottle of wine?
Right, or if I'm already out, I'd probably stay out.
Yeah.
But don't call me at 10.
Eah.
And say, meet me in Logan Square at 11:30.
I mean, on a good night, I might be able to do that. But
oh my god!
Yeah, it's
come
true.
Come over and let's smoke a joint.
But what
did I say that out loud?
Yeah. But what I love is that by the next morning, like I got there, it was really late at night. So what's beautiful is you can't even really see it; you just hear the ocean. I was right on the water, and you know, and then I wake up and I'm like, oh my god, what time is it? You know, and the sun's shining. And it's like 7:25 in the morning, and I don't see 7:25 here unless like something's happening.
Right.
And right. and
unless
so
I'm texting you saying, "Hey, is the cable out?"
Yeah, or something. And that doesn't even happen because you're not up at 7:25 either.
I know.
I mean, you know, one of us is being rushed to a hospital or having
right.
a fabulous morning interview on a morning talk show or
exactly,
something.
Right.
That's the only reason we're
right.
up.
Or morning sex.
And morning, not even.
Not even. No, that's early. You're right. That's early.
8:30 maybe, but not 7:25. So like 7:25. I'm like
8 and a half
up.
Sounds good.
And every morning I would wake up and I would wake up earlier and earlier. You know, the sun rose there at like 6:30, and the sun sets at 5:10. So at like 5:10, I'm like, that's my day. You know, like, yeah. That's the day. And it's the kind of simplicity and sanity of, like, I go inside when the light, when the sun goes down. Because uh-huh. I didn't venture out a lot by myself. Uh-huh. I didn't have any somebody else there with me, or maybe I would have had dinners out or uh-huh. whatever. But so I would just, like, watch the sunset. There's a glow for about another 20 minutes, and then, you know, you go in, and then that's yeah. night.
Did you?
And then you wake up, and it's like, that's morning. Your body or something, or your the lift in your chest mm. is kind of based mm-hmm. around this rising and setting of the sun. And I feel it differently here. Like, the sun sets here, and I'm like, there's still so much to do. I have right. to, like, churn
well, you
on.
Can, well, you can also feel, I mean, I actually really think that in cities you can feel so much electricity in the city.
Yeah.
And I don't mean the metaphoric
I
electricity.
Agree.
I mean the actual
I
grid
yeah.
that's like buzzing. And so it is hard to sort of come down.
Yeah.
Whereas on an island, there isn't as much of that. You,
no.
It's,
I'd love it. I would just kind of come in and make
did
a little
you read
nashi food. I read, I'm about to finish my fifth book.
Oh.
I read 5 books.
Whoa.
I really did. I read a lovely little romantic circus fairy tale. I left it there, but it's a book you should pick up in paperback.
Oh, awesome.
It's called The Night Circus. It's kind of like a little interesting love story about these two individuals who are bonded. It's definitely not the movie with the, you know, it's not the circus movie with Reese Witherspoon.
Oh no, that's what
it's. Although elephants. That's a great book. I did not like the movie, but they're true. How do I tell this? They are two individuals who have powers.
Oh.
They have actual magical powers, but the world sees them as illusionists.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're hidden, but with each other they understand that there's no BS. Like, you're constructing just enough of a frame that the audience thinks it's a trick, but you actually have that power. And it's mm-hmm. this beautiful story of seeing one another, you know, and lovely little
Night Circus?
The Night Circus. It's really, and since you're a part of the Midnight Circus.
Exactly.
It's right? really kind of lovely, but then the when the sun sets, the circus appears and the circus lights up, and it's all these different tents of all these different worlds, and it's not just like a circus. It's like different worlds, things happen. Like, there's mm-hmm. a cloud world where, you know, and you just start to discover that what these two illusionists do, since they can't control their powers and they're trying to seduce one another,
mm-hmm.
is that they each create a different tent, and that we get to go live in these tents and experience uh-huh. them for a night. It's really beautiful. I loved it.
I'll check it out.
Very sweet. Read that, and then I read memoirs, like, out the ass. I read Wild, which is a wonderful memoir about a woman who, after her mom dies, when her mom was only 45 and she was in her early 20s, 4 years later, she decides to hike the entire Pacific Coast Trail through California and through Oregon by herself. Really amazing book, and just about the people and the experiences that kind of ghost in and out of her life along that trail.
Amazing.
And I read a book. I read a young adult novel, The New Divergent, which is going to be kind of the new Hunger Games.
Huh.
I have a 12-year-old boy that's close to me in my life, and I had told him about it, reading about it in Entertainment Weekly, and it's going to be out with the young actress who played George Clooney's daughter in the...
The younger daughter or the older daughter?
The daughter on the... In the
Descendants?
The Descendants. Yeah. Shailene Woodley. She was the teenage daughter. She's going to be
older
the lead.
One.
Yeah.
Oh, she's fabulous.
She's going to be like the Jennifer Lawrence.
It's
kind of
so
it's a trilogy.
Great in that,
yeah, she was amazing. So that's going to be the hot new thing. And Jerry Dye was telling me that he saw a trailer for it, and that it looks like it's going to be amazing. It's coming
awesome.
Out this spring. And I really enjoyed that. I thought it was better. For sure, it's not Twilight. And I thought it was better written than the first Hunger Games.
Cool.
It's really interesting. It takes place in Chicago, written by a Northwestern University graduate. And it takes place in Chicago many, many years. So they're referring to things that are almost post-apocalyptic, like the Bean and the Hancock Towers that are all abandoned and windows blown out.
Wow.
And when a kid is 16, they have to decide what faction they belong to. And one is based on, like... fearlessness or courage. One is based on amity or heart.
Sounds
one
like
is
high
based on it is yeah. It's kind of like, which category do you fit into? But then you're in it for life.
Wow.
And so you might stay with the faction, like the main character, the woman, she is Beatrice, her family is selfless. That is their thing. So because they're so selfless, they run the government. So they take factions' best qualities and you run aspects of. There's one that's all based on honesty. They cannot lie. And so at 16, you go through this rite of passage and you pick which faction then is your truth. And then you live and work within that faction. And so it's really interesting what works about that and what doesn't work about that.
Interesting.
It's really, really interesting. I enjoyed it.
And I'm glad that you got so much reading done.
Yeah, and I read
it. It's hard when we're
I never get to read. Not with the I like to read a long periods of time for retention. And so I'm reading a really funny book right now, which is Laugh Out Loud. I feel like some woman should do it as a stand-up show. In some ways, it's called Mennonite in a Little Black Dress, and it's quite funny. It's quite funny.
That's a funny title.
It is a very funny title. So, you know, I love going there and reading.
When I'm on the ship, I read a lot.
I don't read anything queer. I usually like to when I'm...
Right now, I'm just reading a small volume by James Baldwin. So it is... it's not an expressly queer book, although I'm blanking on the title right now, but it's a James
collection
Baldwin.
Of his essays?
No, it's a sort of a novella. It's a short novel. I'm blanking on the title right now because I have it in front of me, but it's, you know, I'm a huge James Baldwin fan.
When I met you, you were doing Death in the Family.
Oh, that's James Agee.
Oh, that's James Agee.
Yeah, who was not queer, I don't
Who's
think.
Who's not queer
but
and
James
not black.
James Baldwin. Right. Go Tell on the Mountain is James.
Yes,
is James
Go Tell
Baldwin.
On the Mountain.
And also Giovanni's Room.
And Giovanni's Room.
Right.
Which I've never read and I need to
read. It's pretty amazing how it holds up. I have to say, if you're interested in reading any of James Baldwin's books, Giovanni's Room as a queer book is a great place to start. But Another Country is the one that's my personal favorite.
Oh.
It's about black and white and straight and gay and bi and music and art and
it's a wonderful documentary on him from the American Masters
Amazing,
series
yeah.
that I just watched not too long ago. Really, really, really profound. I want to talk a little bit, and we're going to break and do some news because there's a lot of news going on. And in our news stories, you'll hear about some folks who have come out. And one story we didn't cover in the news that you're going to talk about. But I want to talk about this new language that is starting to enter this new normal, as I'm liking to call it. So we'll talk about the new normal when we come back.
The Joffrey Ballet presents America's number one nutcracker, Chicago's most beloved holiday tradition. The Washington Post hails it a perfect ballet and a theatrical event of irresistible power. The Chicago Tribune called it majestic and intoxicating. For an evening of pure enchantment, including a live orchestral performance of Tchaikovsky's glorious score, see the Joffrey Ballet's The Nutcracker, December 6th through the 28th at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University. Tickets start at just $31. Call 800-982-2787 or visit us online, joffrey.org. Special thanks to the Nutcracker presenting sponsor, Gems World Academy, Chicago.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. Six same-sex couples married just after midnight December 2nd in Hawaii, becoming the first to wed as the state's new marriage equality law went into effect. Hawaii expects to benefit from an estimated $217 million boost in tourism over the next 3 years because of the new statute.
Jonathan Moscone, the son of the late San Francisco Mayor George Moscone, recently married his partner, Daryl Cabanaro, at City Hall. Former city supervisor Dan White shot and killed the elder Moscone and Harvey Milk, the first openly gay elected official to public office in California, on November 27, 1978.
Northeastern Illinois University is the first Illinois public university to include a question about a prospective student's sexual orientation or gender identity on its admissions application for fall 2014. Elmhurst College, a private school in Chicago's western suburbs, became the first college in the country to ask applicants if they are LGBT back in 2011.
In Maryland, the Hyattsville City Council unanimously approved an ordinance that bans anti-LGBT discrimination in the Prince George's County municipality.
Hyattsville is the first jurisdiction in Prince George's County to ban anti-trans discrimination. It will take effect December 22nd.
In Nebraska, Douglas County will extend benefits to the same-sex spouses of employees who were married legally in other states. The county board voted to change the definition of an eligible spouse from legally married spouse to the person to whom the employee is legally married, regardless of whether that person is of the same gender or opposite gender of the employee. The move follows a decision by the city of Omaha not to extend health insurance and dental benefits to the spouses of legally married gay employees.
A fraternity at Maryland's Morgan State University is on probation until 2015 following accusations that it rejected a recruit because of his sexual orientation. The university determined that the Alpha Iota chapter of Kappa Alpha Psi did discriminate against Brian Stewart because he is gay. Stewart holds a 3.2 GPA and has interned at the White House. He said he complained to make sure other students don't endure the same discrimination. Ironically, Stewart received scholarships from Kappa Alpha Psi to attend Morgan State University.
In world news, former South Africa President Nelson Mandela died December 5th at the age of 95. He spent 27 years in prison after the white minority government convicted him of treason, only to forge a peaceful end to white rule by negotiating with his captors after his release in 1990.
An IKEA spokeswoman confirmed that the company erased a lesbian couple from the Russian version of its catalog. The December magazine or catalog will be distributed in most countries, and it contains a long feature about the lives of British lesbian couple Clara and Kirsty and their IKEA-filled interiors. Attorneys were concerned that showing a happy same-sex couple in Russia would violate the country's anti-gay propaganda laws.
Greece's Democratic Left Party has introduced an amendment that would see the country's civil unions program for opposite-sex couples who do not wish to marry extended to same-sex couples.
Stockholm will be the host of LGBT sporting event Eurogames in 2015. More than 200,000 visitors are expected to flock to the Swedish capital. The Eurogames were first held in 92 with the aims of fighting discrimination and encouraging integration.
Dinesh Bugra, the new leader of the World Psychiatric Association, has come out as gay and has demanded action to stop homosexuality from being treated as an illness. Bugra, who grew up in northern India and who has been partnered for 30 years, will become the first openly gay president of the World Psychiatric Association.
Israeli President Shimon Peres has publicly backed marriage rights for same-sex couples. His support came in response to a new bill the Justice Ministry is promoting that's called Living Together, which attempts to regulate some form of a civil partnership between gay and lesbian couples.
The Federation of Gay Games, or FGG, facilitated and participated in a historic first meeting between the International Olympic Committee, IOC, and the LGBT sports organizations. The meeting followed a promise newly elected IOC President Thomas Bach made during his first official visit last October to Sochi, Russia, site of the 2014 Winter Olympic and Paralympic Games.
A group of senators has proposed reforms that would allow same-sex couples to marry throughout Mexico. Much like the U.S., Mexican states currently decide on marriage.
In entertainment news, Lady Gaga will lead the last dance at New York City's Roseland Ballroom with a string of special shows starting March 28th. Roseland has operated at various times in the city since it opened in 1919.
Mary Lambert, the featured vocalist and songwriter on Macklemore & Lewis's award-winning pro-equality anthem Same Love, will be performing at the original Dinah Shore Weekend in Palm Springs, also known as the Dinah. The Dinah Weekend is April 2nd through 6th, 2014, in Palm Springs, California.
Sean Bean, known for playing Lord Eddard Stark in the first season of HBO's Game of Thrones, has won an international Emmy for playing a trans role in the BBC One drama series, Accused. Bean, who is 54, won for his portrayal of a teacher with an alter ego who dresses in women's clothes.
On the November 26th episode of the NBC show The Biggest Loser, personal trainer Bob Harper came out of the closet. Contestant Bobby Salim revealed that he was gay on the show, but struggled to break the news of his sexuality to his father. To encourage him, Harper decided to share his own story.
Barbara Walters has revealed most of her annual list of the most fascinating people of the year, among them
Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, Prince William and Kate Middleton's son, Prince George, actress Jennifer Lawrence, long-distance swimmer Diana Nyad, Miley Cyrus, Duck Dynasty's Robertson family, Good Morning America anchor Robin Roberts, Pope Francis, and whistleblower Edward Snowden. Walters will reveal the number one most fascinating person of 2013 during her show on Wednesday, December 18th.
Actress Maria Bello revealed that she is in a lesbian relationship in a New York Times essay she wrote on December 1st, making an appeal to be embraced for her own modern family. Bello wrote that she struggled with revealing to her 12-year-old son, Jackson, her relationship with a woman called Claire, who happened to be her closest friend. However, she also urged a broader definition of sexuality and love than what currently passes for social norms. Bello added that her other main relationships have been with men, but they weren't always sexual ones.
And openly gay meteorologist Sam Champion is leaving Good Morning America for the Weather Channel. The weatherman, who joined the GMA in 2006, will take on a new role as a host and managing editor at the station. And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, this is Amy Sedaris, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
queer,
innovative, campy,
edgy,
original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of December 9th, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. She's back and better than ever. About-Face Theater's queer hit holiday musical, We Three Lizas, is playing now to January 5th at Stage 773. Conrad Ticklebottom's life has hit a stumbling block when three magical figures arrive at his door, a trio of Liza Minnellis, to escort him on a fabulous journey through what was, what could be, and what the heck? It's a sparkly musical of hope, transformation, and the power of Liza. Visit stage773.com to get your tickets to We Three Lizas today.
Timeline Theater Company has another formidable production, says the Chicago Tribune, about The Normal Heart, Larry Kramer's landmark drama about the AIDS crisis. The Chicago Sun-Times calls The Normal Heart breathtaking, and Time Out Chicago awards it 5 stars. For tickets, visit timelinetheater.com. The Normal Heart is now extended through December 29th at Stage 773.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
Hang all the mistletoe. I'm gonna get to know you better. As we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. Yeah. This Christmas, fireside is blazing bright. We're caroling through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me.
So Mitchell, we just heard in the news story, in our entertainment news, a couple of people who came out this week. You know, the guy on The Biggest Loser,
the trainer,
pretty traditional yeah. way to come out, yeah. you know, but public and all that. But the story of actress Maria Bello, who great, you know, there's a great sex and love essay in the New York Times Sunday section every week, Modern Love. Mm-hmm. And there's always, you know, some interesting perspectives that they ask people to write some sort of editorial or personal story about sex and love in this day and age. Maria Bello, great actress from Coyote Ugly and History of Violence and The Cooler, one of my all-time favorite movies. If you've not seen that movie with her and William H. Macy, it's such a good movie. It's to me like
she's also a Stone
sleeper.
Cold Fox,
and she's a Stone Cold fucking Fox.
She is.
I didn't even hear this news until I was at a dinner party last night, and then it's of course brought across my news desk this morning. But came well. She didn't come out. What she did in this article was that she said she has been in a long-term relationship with a longtime friend who happens to be a woman. And she talked about her journey to coming, talked a little bit about her journey to that. Not really, but the article is truly about revealing that fact to her 12-year-old son.
Right.
And trying to explain or to clarify, you know, that this was just, that this was who she had fallen in love with and who she was in a significant partnership with, to which her 12-year-old son said, you know, hey, mom, whatever. Love is love, you know.
I know. Extraordinary.
Extraordinary. But this is the new age. And you are talking about this.
Tom Daly, who's an a British Olympic swimmer.
Right.
He won the bronze last
And he'll be
summer.
Swimming in Russia?
No. Russia's the Winter Olympics.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Yeah, so in Rio.
He would be swimming with the polar bears.
Exactly. He'd be very, very cold. And you don't want to have
He's a diver, right?
He's a diver.
Uh-huh.
And he won bronze. He's very young. I mean, I think he's 19 mm-hmm. right now. And he's very, very, very adorable.
Yep.
And so there's been a lot of speculation about him. But also, he's also in England. He's, I mean, most gay people, I think, most gay men certainly know who he is. Just because his picture goes up on...
Yeah,
on
and like, he's a heartthrob.
He's a heartthrob.
I mean, gay, straight, who cares?
Yeah,
young,
he's a teeny
old,
bopper.
Like, you know
he's
who's
a
heartthrob, right?
He's got this amazing diver's body and... He's a beautiful boy. And, you know, isn't shy about showing it off. I mean, they wear Speedos
sure.
for a living. So he also came out about his relationship. He did not say that he was gay.
Right.
What he said was...
I'm in a relationship with a man.
I met someone in the spring. And, you know, he sort of talked about having lots of confusion and how he had thought when he was younger that this was possible. But and he did make a point of saying, I still fancy girls.
Yeah.
And I think in the past...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then, of course, immediately the Twitter sphere and the blogosphere mm-hmm. gets mm-hmm. all full of, like, shitty, catty remarks. This is not a boy who's ever... This is a young kid.
Yeah, he's 19.
So,
he's
A, not only did he have to deal with a lot of homophobia. I mean,
yeah.
If you dare, I don't recommend it, but if you dare, Google the tweets that he got
yeah.
About his coming out and how just rancorous they are. They're vile.
Yeah.
Also a lot of support.
Absolutely.
My point is that what he said was that he met someone in the spring and his life changed and he's never felt happier and he's never felt safer.
Yeah.
And that person happens to be a guy.
Exactly.
Now, the gossips are ablaze because they think, no one has confirmed this, that it's Dustin Lance Black who wrote Milk
mm-hmm.
And also the Prop 8
mm-hmm.
you know, show. They had been seen hanging out earlier
mm-hmm.
this year, back in the spring,
mm-hmm.
and people sort of wondered what that was about.
But it's kind of, it's irrelevant who it is.
It is irrelevant.
What is interesting
is that... What I think is beautiful, though,
is that
he... What I do think is relevant about that is not so much their age difference and stuff like that. It has to do with the fact that wouldn't... So interesting, because Dustin Lance Black is so much of an activist
yeah.
and truly educated about
yeah.
Queer history, and I think that that's sort of a great... place for this kid to start.
Well, I will say, you know, my first lover was a woman 16 and a half years older than myself. We were mm-hmm. together for a few years, you know, at least two and a half, maybe three, I don't remember. And what I can tell you is that the gift, and I only look at that relationship as a gift because it was the first, because I came to it innocently and open.
Sure.
And because she was an out, confident woman,
mm-hmm.
that it instilled a model
yes. That's
of
exactly
esteem.
What I mean. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
And the possibility, even though we were not anything alike, and we... exteriorly, and I don't mean like looks, I just mean like her upbringing, my upbringing, mm-hmm. we did not have the same path, but it afforded to me a door into a way to enter this community or this identification of myself sexually with esteem.
And that's the interesting thing.
And being out, you know?
I think that's the thing. And I also think what you just said, the identity within this community, the identity of sexual identity. I hate even using the word sexual identity because that involves like penises and vaginas. I want to talk about like relationship identity, like love identity,
absolutely,
right? Romantic identity,
and that's a lot of what Maria Bello talks about in this New York Times.
Daily. So I was saying that a lot of people got shitty about, like, oh, it's that thing where some young gay boy says he's bisexual because he's too afraid to label himself. But I think that's an old model.
I think it's an old idea.
I think it's an old idea. I think that right now in his life, he doesn't see himself as gay, straight, or bisexual.
Yeah.
He sees himself as Tom Daly,
yeah,
who's in a relationship with a man. And I think that that's seemingly what Maria Bello is saying.
But what I love that you said about him, and I don't know a lot about his story, and I just started reading about Maria last night, and I'm obviously fascinated because I think she's a hottie McHottie.
Yeah, she's, as is Tom Daly.
And I'd love for her to be in our community. But what I love about her and what I love about you, what you said about him, was he said, I met somebody who made me very happy,
and I feel safe for the first time in my life. He said.
And so, you know, and Maria Bello said a similar thing where she said, you know, I'd been in this marriage or I'd been in this relationship, and I looked around and I thought, who am I most myself with? And where have I been happy? And I remembered this friend, you know, I thought of my good friend, and I looked at this photograph of my very good friend. And this one is from Zimbabwe. They look a lot alike, but, you know, and said, I just, how happy I am when I'm with her.
Mm-hmm.
And how, and even Maria Bello, like, challenges. She goes, I've been in partnerships that were non-sexual or became non-sexual. Are they my primary relationship because they're sexual?
Right.
Or are they, you know, so she too seemed to even want to take the sex out of it.
Right. It's about
whether we have sex is less relevant
than who we love.
Than who we love and who we are with that person. And she said, you know, whether I'm doing homework with this person or cooking with this person or having sex with this person, it's like where I feel most fulfilled, where I feel my most self, where I feel my most happy. And I think that that's something that is a wonderful journey for us as a world
and a wonderful evolution. Mm-hmm. I mean, the idea, I mean, I get it. Like,
that is modern love to me.
Exactly. And I think about labeling, and I remember thinking, and I still think that this is true on some level, that it was very important for me when I was younger, when I came out, to label myself. I mean, I understood people saying, don't label me, don't label me. I don't want to be labeled, don't label me. And I've been...
Oh, I did.
I spent a very long time with a person in my life who was like, don't label me, don't label me. It's a different story. But I do think that for myself, when I came out, it was important for me to label myself because the cojones that it took for me to label myself, especially in 1983 and 1984... allowed me to then be whoever the hell I wanted to be.
That's right.
Because I knew who I was in a base way, right? And at the foundation of myself.
Now, it was defensive for me too,
right?
Because I am so passing. I straight pass
right,
or whatever.
Exactly, right.
That some of my friends often joke and like when you meet Amy that with if you've talked to her for 10 minutes, you know she's a lesbian,
right? Because she's gonna let you know.
She'll let you know that very early on, and I think to me it was a disarming thing.
Me too.
And it was also just like, let's just get this on the table now.
I don't think I have to tell anyone. I think my gayness shows up 10 minutes before.
I don't know, but I just always, and I didn't even realize I was doing that. It was unconscious until now. It is more conscious. Right. Now I
like that. I also think if I am in a situation where somebody hasn't figured out, I do will actually out myself because then I know where I'm safe and where I'm not.
Yeah.
But this idea that this new generation, Maria Bello even being part of it because she came out in 2013, where
it's not labeling.
You know, he didn't even say, Tom Daly didn't even say he was bisexual.
Yeah.
Like,
I feel like we're all going to co-op what the bisexuals have probably been saying for forever. And
exactly.
The damn bisexuals who have been fighting this lonely fight themselves
in
the GLBT community, right?
Bisexuals, right.
And now we're all going to act like this is a new idea. And the poor bisexuals.
It's like, it's what we've been saying.
Duh. Yeah. Thank you for now co-opting that, too.
You know, it may be that Tom Daly is only 19 and...
Who knows?
And who knows? But the point is, he's not being... I don't think that he's being skittish. I think he's saying his truth right now.
Absolutely.
I actually don't know.
Yeah.
I know this thing.
Yeah.
I'm in a relationship with this man who makes me feel safe.
Yeah.
Who I love.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it is interesting. You know,
Well, it makes us less stagnant people, too.
I agree.
You know what's interesting? I mean, we have Gloria Steinem, who was like, I'll never marry, who marries at 68 or something. Right. Or Holly Near, you know. I mean, I'm speaking of women. But, right. You know, people who are like, I'm a lesbian. I'm a lesbian activist, a lesbian folk singer, and then marries a man.
Right.
You know, whatever right. happens. It's so interesting.
Or Barry Diller, who was out for years and then married Diane von Furstenberg.
Yeah, it's like... Who are we to say that we're going to be the same as the world and life experience wears on us or mm-hmm. shapes us or changes us or rubs us smooth, you know, as life...
I just wish this poor kid didn't have to... I mean, you know, boo-hoo, he's, you know, this world-famous Olympic-level athlete. But I do wish he didn't have to deal with all this sort of hate. I mean, luckily his grandparents actually made a public statement and they're mm-hmm. like incredibly supportive and his mom is totally supportive and stuff like that. And so his family's been really great.
Yeah.
But I do think it's, God, that the sort of, and he has gotten a lot of public support. But this other stuff.
Well, you know, I mean, we are surprised that as our, as this becomes more mainstream, just being whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the hate has come out from under the rocks.
That it's not new. You know, it's not new. I think some of us had our head under the sand about it going on. But, you know, I mean, even, you know, think back to, you know, when Ellen DeGeneres came out,
I know,
you
right?
know, on television. And that's been, you know, 15 years now or something, right? And, you know, lost her job. Like, the retaliation was hard. You know, I mean, Oprah Winfrey has said... you know, and when she was, I don't know, she did a few gay specials not too long ago with a bunch of different Wanda Sykes and Danny Bukatinsky and and the guy from plays Mitchell on Modern
Jessica
Family.
Tyler.
Yeah, and she said, I think it was at that show or one of the other ones when she was with Neil Patrick Harris or something, she said, you know, I got more hate mail for doing Ellen's coming out episode than I ever got in anything else. I mean, that woman was sued by the meat, you know, the cattle people
right.
in Texas. And I mean, you know, whatever. More hate mail doing that. But she said, you know, but that just is what it is. I mean, mm-hmm. that just is what it is. You know, it's just fear.
It
fear
is fear.
Rising
I just,
up.
I just, it's difference between being a billionaire
oh,
adult
of course.
And being a 19-year-old boy.
Of course. But I have a feeling that an athlete at that level... You know,
oh, yeah, he's got to be a tough kid.
He has got some, you know, he has either got some great psychology about himself and probably some great therapists, you know,
and
that help you with the mental
support.
Game, you know.
I also would, I'd be curious.
And he's happy.
He's happy.
And honestly, that's the thing.
Right.
If he was just flaming or caught doing something scandalous in the backseat of a car, but he's happy and he's in love. And that is a powerful Teflon mm-hmm. and a powerful drug. So if this has to happen to him now,
yeah.
what a gift that yeah. he's so happy and feels safe and
right.
feels these things to be that triumphant, to be that courageous.
I agree.
You know?
It'd be interesting to see what response, what, if there was, I mean, Maria Bello isn't nearly as famous as Tom Daley, certainly not. Where he's primarily
mm-hmm.
known, where he's primarily known, he's wildly famous,
mm-hmm.
And so I it would be interesting. I wonder if the amount of like vitriol against a boy is compared to the vitriol against a woman.
Well, a 46-year-old woman who already has a child and has already procreated and
right.
is already kind of, you know, middle aged. I mean, she's not. But, you know, to the promise of a 19-year-old boy who won't marry a girl.
Who an entire nation.
You know, and who
are...
knows? He may still marry a girl and
right.
may still and may be a fantastic modern new age man.
Right. And
having been able to love a man.
Also,
who knows?
He was the object of billions of adoring young girls. And so a lot of the, and he's in sports. And so a lot of the vitriol came from like
yeah.
this idea that like a bunch of, you know, disappointed teenagers and then a bunch of homophobic sports
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just interesting.
I think it is going to be interesting. They're just, you know, I don't know if I'm just more aware of it or if this shift or whatever's happening, but the conversation that continues to unfold around homosexual individuals who excel at things with their body, sports, mm-hmm. As opposed to the performing arts, as right. opposed to an expression of artistry,
right.
to an expression of ability.
Right.
It is interesting to think, you know, all the things that are happening. Obviously, Sochi, Russia bringing a lot of it to mm-hmm. the forefront. But it is this interesting thing where we see new sports teams starting to talk about it, and individual sports divers or swimmers or soccer players or rugby players or whatever.
I just read today that there's a documentary. I don't think it's finished. I think they're looking for some funding. A documentary about the fact that there's never been an out surfer.
Yeah.
And
I guess
yeah, there's a documentary coming out about being out mm-hmm. and surfing. But yeah. it follows
they're
these
doing
two
a
gay
Kickstarter
surf-
campaign.
Yeah, these two gay surfers, and I think that's sort of interesting.
I mean, it's just what's fascinating is that I believe in the same way that I think art has the potential to truly shine when artists can be free and express themselves. I think without the mantle of fear or shame around athletes, once they can remove that, I think we are going to see athletics in all forms excel yeah. even more.
Yeah.
You know, records being broken and things like that, because I still think that the mind, body, and soul are connected.
I agree.
And so I think that it's going to be very, very interesting when team sports can truly function as a team, when there's just even that hint of hesitation or a fear or a guardedness mm-hmm. or a
it's interesting. Team sports will
powerful,
be the really interesting
you know, right?
one because
and even individual
homophobia
sports.
Is used as a for boys anyway is used as a tool to get boys to work harder and be meaner and be tougher, mm-hmm. right?
Don't be a sissy. Don't be
don't
a Nelly.
Right,
don't
exactly,
be a girl. Don't be a girly man.
Right, exactly. It's often used as a way to propel boys into this fierceness
mm-hmm.
Around sports. And I agree with you. I think I am curious to see what will change as that changes as there are more and more professional sports allies.
It's happening. There's
but also,
just
like,
so many
I think
news
about
stories
myself,
about it.
You know, I would never, in fact, call myself an athlete, but I've always been athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been able to sort of pick up any physical activity, whether it's performing arts or
mm-hmm.
sporting or circus or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That I've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always an athlete,
mm-hmm.
Genetically, right?
Mm-hmm.
My family is, and I avoided sports like the plague, like a lot of gay men of my generation, because a locker room, gym class,
mm-hmm.
sports was not a
mm-hmm.
safe place
mm-hmm.
for a gay kid.
Mm-hmm.
It was not safe. It was literally unsafe. I
mm-hmm.
mean, physically,
mm-hmm.
it could be very dangerous. And so I avoided learning sports.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I had an inability to play them.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did play them, it was always this thing where people would be like, oh,
mm-hmm.
Mitchell's pretty good. But
mm-hmm.
I never wanted to play them because I never wanted to be in a situation where I had to be in a locker
mm-hmm.
room or,
mm-hmm.
be, you know, that all gay men know what I'm talking about. I think women have the same experience, but I can only speak to what it's like, the literal, like, ninth circle of hell
mm-hmm.
that is the locker room or gym class
yeah.
for certain gay boys. Now, there were other gay boys, obviously, who, like you said, sort of were able to, quote, pass, end quote,
mm-hmm.
right, in which it was much easier. I was not one of those boys.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I was, I was too insecure and too afraid
mm-hmm.
to deal with it, and there wasn't anyone who said to me, hey, Queenie McQueenerson, I know you're a total little queer ball, but you also would be really awesome at this sport.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you just get over yourself and learn the sport, and I'll look
mm-hmm.
out for you.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been nice.
Yeah, I just really think it's going to be interesting because it's just being talked about a lot. It's going to take some time, but I mean, there's shifts happening, and this kid coming out, you know, is a or having this experience,
mm-hmm.
even whether he's out or not out or mm-hmm. whatever. I mean, the world sees him as
a gay
man.
I'll tell you what
would
be amazing is in Rio. If he and Matthew Mitchum, who's the Australian
mm-hmm.
who won the
mm-hmm.
gold
yeah.
several years ago, not last Olympics, the one before, if they both kick ass in Rio in 2016.
Yeah. Maybe we should just go to Rio.
Right.
Can that be our first trip? Let's do
oh,
that. That would be awesome.
That sounds like a dream.
Well, it is Dickens Village around here.
It
Christmas
is.
Gay Dickens Village.
I know,
around
we're about to haul your tree
and
up.
Edgewater. So we're going to trim the tree and make the glad tidings gay.
You said trim.
I did.
Sorry, Mr. Matheny.
I didn't say the Yiddish word.
No, you did. Don't say the Yiddish word.
Schmutz. I'm going to just say schmutz. Say from schmutz. Here on out. Right. I'm going to get some schmutz out of the basement.
Exactly.
Happy holidays. Happy December.
Come see me in Santa Land.
Go see Stay Mitchell for the in the Santa Land, and then go see Big Red and the Boys at Theater Wet December 13th, 14th, 20th, and 21st at 11 o'clock. Have a cocktail and hang out. And,
yeah, see me, then have a drink and stay.
Mitchell will be there, and Mitchell will see you at Mitchell's show, and then have a drink, and it gets even funnier if you have a few drinks.
Yeah, you better believe it.
All of it. The world. All right, well, let's just not label ourselves we're happy and gay.
We're happy and gay.
And Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Solstice. We've still got many weeks of this. The consumerism is going to continue.
I know. I ignore that. I just like pretty lights on trees.
All right. Let's go put some on.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.